Welcome back to the Wellbeing Lounge. It's always a pleasure to speak to very interesting people about their work, but also to learn things that we didn't know about ourselves. And my next guest, Michael Rubino, is the founder of Home Cleanse, and he's going to tell us some home truths that probably we need to know. Welcome to the lounge, Michael.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you here. Please tell me a little bit about Home Cleanse, first of all.
Well, Home Cleanse is a company that exists to help people, you know, find problems and fix problems with their home. You know, my personal mission is to stop people from getting sick inside their own homes. So we'll let that sink in for a second, because I know, you know, when I first started on this journey, realizing that people can get sick in their own homes was a wild new discovery for me.
Exactly. And the only reason I kind of have an understanding of this is because I have friends who have asthma and they have to have dehumidifiers. They have to do a lot to their homes to make them safer. But as I said to our listeners earlier, we do have some home truths coming up. I would really love you to tell us what we don't know about the air quality in our homes. I know it's a big question.
Yeah, when it comes to health and wellness, look, everyone's talking about clean eating. But do you know what no one is talking about? Clean breathing. Now, what are we breathing in inside of our homes? Well, viruses, we know, right? But what about mold and bacteria? Do a lot of us realize that we are breathing in mold and bacteria? And I think that is something that really slips the radar. And I've seen so many people getting sick through to high levels of mold or high levels of bacteria. And the crazy part of this whole thing is that when I walk into somebody's home, it isn't always abundantly obvious right away. Like the house might look beautiful, like it just came out of a magazine, but yet there are hidden problems behind walls, ceilings, or in HVAC systems. So I think, you know, really understanding how the quality of air that we're breathing impacts our health, I think is the number one thing people want to be aware of.
How do we gain a better understanding of this? Now, I know when it comes to something like pollution, because there's been a lot of research on it, you can type in your address, you can find out about the pollution in your area. But when it comes to something like mold, when it comes to even organizations and the air conditioning, as you mentioned, where do we start?
Well, I'm going to give you the free version first. Because that's really important. And the people will love this. If they're listening to this on the fly, they can pause it and go check. Go over to your toilet tank right now. Take off the cover of the toilet tank. Flip the lid over, okay, and look at the underside of the lid and look inside the toilet tank. If you see an abundance of mold growing in there, then it means that there's a problem nearby that is opportunistically getting inside the toilet tank. So you can do that right now for free. The other thing that you can do if you want to get a little more scientific, because that's my background, I really like to see the science of things, you can do what's called the dust test, which uses PCR technology to actually identify. The specificity is like 36 different molds that are typically found in a water damaged home, and it can tell you specifically how many particles present per milligram of dust. And I know we're going to lose people on the science a little bit, but basically, you can use that to determine, okay, is my house normal? Is it abnormal? Okay, how abnormal? Is it 10 times worse than it should be? Is it 100 times worse or even 1,000 times worse? And I think that helps people provide perspective. How healthy is their home and how healthy is that air quality inside the house in which they're breathing?
I really like that. I like the fact that we can go and check this straight away, and that will hopefully open the door to learning more about what's going to make us healthier, because that's clearly a problem. And if we were to notice that there was mold growing, opportunistic mold, I like that phrase, what would we do about that straight away? Do we call somebody in? How might we treat that?
Yeah, I think if you know there's a problem, you're going to want to probably do a deeper dive, and you'll probably want the help of a professional to come in and help you figure out where is it coming from, how pervasive is it, and what's it look like to actually make the repairs necessary to breathe in better air. I think that is probably the next step. Like the dust test, as I mentioned earlier, that gives you a little more science. So if I suspect I have a problem, I'm going to use that. That's going to tell me exactly if I have a problem or not scientifically, then I can bring in the big guns to come in and help me professionally to see, you know, where is this problem stemming from and how do I fix it?
And a lot of people, I know we're digressing a little bit, but I know a lot of people would just use the mold removal paint and things like that. Is that enough or is that... Okay, I see your face. I see your face.
Yeah, so, you know, we all grew up in an era where we used bleach or we painted over it, and it was, you know, more of an unsightly problem. You know, going into 2024, we understand this is a lot more... it affects our health probably a lot more than we ever realized. And when we paint over mold, you know, or paint over bacteria, we're really not solving the problem, right? Because if you think about mold or bacteria and how it thrives inside of our indoor environments, there has to be a source of moisture. So there already has to be a problem. That's kind of more of a symptom of a problem, right? So if we just cover up the symptom, then we're not solving the problem. Guess what's going to happen? That symptom's going to keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. So as long as we allow it to keep coming back, we allow it to keep affecting our air quality, which then in turn impacts the breaths that we take 20,000 times per day, where all these particles and toxins can enter our body, entering our bloodstream and causing all kinds of issues. So the goal is to remove it and to fix the problems that allowed it to grow in the first place. So we don't want to paint over it. We don't want to bleach it. That's the key.
Yes, it is. It is. It's about getting to the root and dealing with it, because otherwise you're absolutely right. It will just simply come back, and then you'll still have the damp problem, which could actually speak to more structural issues as well. So we can be talking about practical as well as physical issues here. So, okay, let's talk about a little bit about air quality in polluted areas, because certainly in Northampton, where this will go out on air, it's quite a built-up area. It's not the worst. It's not as bad as London. But what can we do to improve our air quality, especially knowing we live in a slightly more polluted area?
Okay, so if you live in a polluted area, or if you have, you know, in America and Canada, you have a lot of wildfire issues where all of a sudden the air quality just spikes for a day or weeks at a time. Yeah, a couple of things you want to consider is A, keeping windows and doors closed during these time periods. Now, most of us have phones that tell us the air quality index right on our phone these days, which is really great, and it's locational. So if I live in Tampa, Florida, my air quality might be different than in Hampton, right? So you can check the air quality based upon the location that you're in, and it will fluctuate and change not only throughout the day, but of course, day to day as well. So if I know I have a good air quality day, I'm going to have my windows and doors open, especially if, you know, humidity's low and getting that fresh air in is going to be great to dilute the amount of particles I'm breathing in. Now, if I notice that the air quality index is bad that day, then I'm probably going to keep windows and doors closed. I'm probably going to keep air purifiers on and running inside the home to really control the amount of particulate that might be coming in from outside, inside, and of course, then entering the body.
Yes, I like that. It's taking practical action based on awareness, really. And I had no idea that the phones could actually do that. Could I be cheeky and ask you to sort of take me through where I might be able to find that?
Yeah, absolutely. So do you have an iPhone?
No, I've got an Android, so it may not be the same.
Well, you probably have like a weather app, right?
Yes, I do.
And if you click that weather app, there should be a little AQI that it's called. Oh. And that stands for the air quality index.
Oh.
Within the weather app. Does it see it for Android? Because I would imagine they kind of copy each other, right? So it all should be pretty similar.
I think because I've got a download, I think I have to go to premium to be able to get the air quality, but I will remember that. So that's absolutely brilliant. That's so straightforward, and I would be able to carry that with me because it is location specific. I love it.
Exactly. Now, I know Apple, if you have Apple iPhone, it's completely free. There's no upcharge to see the air quality index. And I bet you if you go on your app store and look for weather apps, you'll find one that's no upcharge that you can see the air quality index. It's called AQI.
AQI. I will remember that. That's absolutely brilliant. And in the same way as we have different types of air quality in different places, we also hear about different, going back to mold, different types of mold, some being more harmful than others. Are there particular things, this is also true for air quality as well, are there particular things we really need to watch out for? When is it that things are going to get dangerous?
Yeah, so there's both good and bad news in this particular context. Unfortunately, the bad news is, you know, we've been kind of trained to only look for black mold. And, you know, it's because of one specific mold in particular called Stachybotrytis that happens to be black in color. And the reason that we look out for that mold in particular is because it is toxigenic. So it is capable of producing toxins called mycotoxins. Now, there are other molds, though, that also are toxigenic that might not necessarily be black in color. One such mold is a species called Aspergillus or Penicillium, which are typically lighter in color, which means it could be harder to spot because they're typically white or like a light grayish color, where if you don't look at it specifically under a certain angle or a certain light, you might easily miss it. So I think, you know, we want to be more aware of just mold is mold. And if we see mold, unless we're a forensic scientist and are willing to test it ourselves or something to that effect, we're probably not going to know the difference between toxic mold and non-toxic mold. So I think it's really key that, you know, if we see it, we take action, because either way it's affecting our air quality, even if it's not toxic and it's, let's say, allergenic or pathogenic, it's still creating some impact if we let it get out of control. So we want to control it.
Yeah, that's really sound advice. Where can we learn more about you, read more information about how to stay healthier, just simply breathing?
Well, I highly recommend going to themichaelrubino.com, where there is so many blogs and FAQs and all kinds of information for you to understand and control the air quality inside your home.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.